The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Back another day and another disgrace. What we have heard in the last couple of weeks is how the wonderful Democrat Party has decided that they're going to spend the next 4 years every day coming up with something, somehow, some way to upset, defame, smear, derail, or cause trouble for President elect at this point, Donald Trump and his administration. And what we have now, of course, are the beginnings of the confirmation hearings for Donald Trump's cabinet. Jeff Sessions was up first today, certainly a man who has extraordinary integrity, has never done anything to be criticized about. He has served very well in the Senate, prosecuted people for racial crimes and all that. He is a real American patriot. So what happens today? Well, we're about to find out. This is disgusting. One other quick note, though. Obama defends legacy, warns of a divided nation in farewell address. Well, I've somehow missed his farewell address, but let me also suggest that you listen in on Thursday night. David John Oates is reversing this farewell address, and he has already reversed some of Obama's remarks from an address, I think, 4 days ago that he made. I forget what statement that was. And we're finding out things in there which are linked to, clearly, what's going on in Europe, with Obama having sent thousands upon thousands of American troops, between 5,000 and 6,000 American battle tanks and armored vehicles, all being deployed along the Russian border with tens of thousands of NATO troops and thousands of NATO tanks and other armored vehicles and armored weapons. This is obviously an effort to provoke Russia into some kind of military activity. We'll have to wait and see. But let me tell you, these are, as I have been telling you for some time, let me say it again, these are extremely dangerous times. Between now, especially in January 20th, but it's not going to stop after that. It's going to continue. So, DV Kid, how are you?
Fine.
That sums it up. It's such an economy of words you use.
Well, you and I have been practicing this for years.
I think we've got it pretty well down. Listen,
we do, and I, as much as it pained me, I watched a few minutes of
you did?
The fraud in chief's farewell address tonight, and the segment, as luck would have it that I tuned into, he was talking about, after World War II, that a new order had been established. But now, today, that is being threatened. It's being threatened by oligarchs and these other countries and radicalism and this, that, and the other. Of course, he didn't mention Muslims.
Didn't mention himself or his supporting of terrorism and all that, no.
Yes, but of course, I'll give you this little quote from, I picked up this book called The Smithsonian Treasury, The Presidents. It was published in 1991. I happened to be in the gift shop at the National Archives in September of 1993 with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And on page 72, because Trump said, or Obama said, that after World War II, this new order was established. This is a quote. When Franklin Roosevelt died during the closing days of World War II, it fell to Truman to end the war and formulate policies for the new world order.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And guess who got in the way of that new world order and had to be removed in broad daylight in Dealey Plaza on November 22nd of 1963, the last man to really challenge the New World Order.
Well, he challenged the military-industrial complex that was making people, lots of people, lots and lots of money.
Yeah, the military-industrial congressional complex. We've got to throw that in, too.
Yes, but interesting that this imposter president tonight talked about, he omitted the word New World Order. He just said a new order. But when he talked about countries over in Europe, you know, mm-hmm. that are rejecting this, they're scared.
Yeah, they are.
This is what's been going on for the last year and a half to 2 years is not in the game plan for these evil, evil people.
They are that and then some. David Oates is going to reverse this speech. We'll find out some of what his subconscious has to say, and it'll be very interesting to listen to.
As far as the hearings today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us about that. I can't bring myself to even watch clips of it, frankly, on the internet, but I'm glad you did.
I don't sit and watch it, you know, every second.
No.
I can actually chew gum and walk at the same time.
You saw enough.
Well, one of the shocking parts, and I looked up, there was three of them. Three males came in to the hearing room wearing white robes and hoods, dressed as the Ku Klux Klan.
How can this be?
Carrying signs that Jeff Sessions is a racist and a hater.
How could they? All right, how the hell can they get in the room? Who let him in?
Where is the security?
Right.
I sent you, I hope you post it. I sent you, I don't know, three or four links. But this one is the fact that complainants in 1985 voting fraud case were also African-American has been overlooked regarding Jeff Sessions and all of the accusations against him as a racist. This is exactly the same thing as Donald Trump. Donald Trump, for all of his professional career, was seemingly much loved by people.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't wait to get on The Apprentice. Everybody wanted to be his friend. Everybody wanted to go to Mar-a-Lago, his place down in Florida.
Right.
Everybody wanted to do business with him. There was never, ever a charge of racism or sexism or anything else associated with Donald Trump's name until he decided to run for president. It's the same thing as for Jeff Sessions. These senators, these phonies that I watched today.
Brainless phonies at that. They're really stupid, some of them.
Well, there's like Dick Durbin, you know, he's a Democrat who's been sitting on the egg there in the public dole for, you know, a couple of decades.
Yeah.
But Jeff Sessions, while he is not perfect, and I did send you the article I wrote back in 2012.
Yeah, please resend those. I'm getting some things. I'm not getting all of them. So just repop them when you get a chance.
Okay, I will. But this was an article I wrote about Dr. Richard Cordero, which you did have on your show at my recommendation. He had the goods on Sotomayor.
Uh-huh.
She committed fraud.
Oh, yeah.
Many crimes. And this all had to do when she was in judge in New York before she was ever nominated.
It's too bad there's really no easy way to remove Supreme Court justices.
But the bottom line is that Dr. Cordero sent Jeff Sessions and 10 other senators all the information, and I shouldn't say information, let me correct myself, the proof that she committed perjury when she lied in her testimony in front of Congress, what she was lying on her application. The woman belongs in a federal prison.
I remember. Yeah, absolutely.
And
these are felonies.
Sessions called a postponement of the confirmation hearing for a few days. I wrote another article about it. We know why he did that. But did he ever call Dr. Cordero, who was willing at his own expense to fly down to Washington, D.C.,
nope.
from New York, and go over and show them the absolute proof that this woman should be indicted? And they didn't. They went ahead and rammed Sotomayor through.
Don't get
but
it.
For this absolute baseless accusations against Jeff Sessions is over the top today. Then we had...
Well, can I say one other thing before you pass by the Ku Klux Klan? We have to remember that Hillary Rodham Clinton had a mentor, someone she idolized and looked up to and studied under and learned from. And his name was Senator Robert Byrd. Senator Robert Byrd was a diehard member of the KKK for years. And yet that seems to make no difference to anybody now. I mean, he's gone, but it
wasn't brought up to, and it should have been brought up today. It absolutely, Ted Cruz was sitting there. He could have said, listen, you want to sling these kind of charges around? Let's look at Robert Byrd, a senator for 57 years.
That's
he dropped dead in 2010. Hillary Clinton's mentor. He was the grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan for over two decades. Now, who's calling who a racist here?
That's right. It's so hypocritical. It's unbelievable. Okay, part two. That was, but you got to go back, friends, and ask yourself, what kind of security is going on in these hearings? If three guys with hoods
and robes and hoods.
What, they could have easily had submachine guns under those robes. Easy. So who let them in?
Oh, and how did they get the robes in? I haven't been to D.C. since 2011 or 12. But my friends and I, we were doing stuff at the National Archives. When we went over to the Capitol, it's damn near close to a strip search. I'm not kidding. You just can't bring in a briefcase with a Ku Klux Klan robe and hood. How did they get those costumes? But then, as one of the senators was questioning Sessions, all of a sudden we hear this yelling and shouting in the back, "You racist, Black Lives Matter," holding up the sign. So that person is the police, the guards, I guess Capitol Police, immediately went to that person. Then two more, just yelling at the top of their lungs, "You're racist, you're racist, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter."
Soros's minions, his Black Lives Matter minions are there. Mm-hmm.
And then the next wave of them, and of course Sessions just sat there. He didn't,
This sounds like a freak show, not a hearing.
And the next one was, the next wave was Code Pink. They were next up. They did their ranting and their yelling and their jumping up and down.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is going to be probably worse. Tomorrow, another slimy SOB named Cory Booker. He's a senator from New Jersey, a newbie.
Yep.
Okay, as political an animal as you will find. Now, he has presidential aspirations for 2020. So tomorrow, for the first time ever, a sitting U.S. senator is going to testify against against a fellow colleague senator who's being nominated for a cabinet position.
Yeah, the guy's dirt. Dirt. This
Can
is
you
just,
imagine what
no.
that's going to be like? First of all, Jeff Sessions has been in the Senate for quite some time. I forgot to look it up earlier, but I'm guessing, because a lot of these guys, they serve in the House first and then they go in the Senate.
I'll look it up.
But all the time that he's been there, have his colleagues called him a racist? Have they come out publicly and said, hey, my colleague Jeff Sessions, this guy's a racist?
Mm-hmm.
No, he's actually on excellent terms with Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah, 20 years exactly in the Senate.
So today, what do they do? They all gang up on him. He's the racist. And the questions that were asked were asinine. That old bitch from Missouri, Claire
McCaskill.
She asked Sessions today this probing, critically important question.
Cerebral question.
Well, if you are confirmed, do you intend to uphold the laws of the United States?
Oh, God. Well,
now,
there's
what did she expect?
Early onset of dementia there.
What was he going to say? No. No, I'm not.
No, that's dementia. She's nuts. That's really amazing.
She's a hag. She's a hag, just like Lisa Murkowski out of Alaska, just like Patty Pancake Murray out of the state of Washington. These hens.
Old.
They have. Honest. Anybody who votes for these women, their heads are empty. If they had two sparks touch each other between their ears, they'd electrocute themselves. They're so stupid.
You're right.
I'm telling you, I wrote an article, I don't know, it's probably been 10 years ago for WorldNet Daily. I got so much email, I said, you got to clean all these women out of Congress.
That's really funny.
But it's true.
Airheads. There's nothing there.
You know what it is? What is so appropriate is my favorite bumper sticker I picked up in Northern California on Highway 5 at a convenience store one time. It said you need to pull over and change the air in your head.
I love that one. That's too funny.
Yeah. It was just below Red Bluff. You know, I don't know, 30 or 40 miles south on 5 in Red Bluff, I stopped to get gas and went to pay, and I saw that bumper sticker, you need to pull over and change the air in your head. I said, I'll take that one.
That's wonderful. That's a title for a book, Devi, or a column.
I already have one book.
I know. Write a column, but that's really funny. That's funny. So what we had today was truly a disgrace.
A circus.
For the process.
It's no longer a confirmation based on their ability.
No.
Jeff Sessions was former attorney general for the state of Alabama. He is eminently qualified for the position. You may not agree with his particular politics, but
right.
He is eminently qualified. Okay, there's no pictures of him screwing a 9-year-old kid in the closet. There's
right.
nothing like that. Nothing. But I'll tell you exactly what the problem is. He's white and he's from the South.
You got it.
That is what it is in a nutshell.
Well, this is a war on Caucasians, on white people. This is a major front line they've opened now. And they're going to be in every one of these hearings. They'll sneak some of their creeps in there and they'll all stand up and do their Black Lives Matter jive. You watch. They're going to do this. This is the way it's going to be. They've already promised to make it difficult for every one of his confirmations. These are not Americans. They're not Americans.
Yeah, no. In that article that I sent you earlier, it was regarding this case in 2002, and a majority African-American grand jury with an African-American foreman asked the federal government to investigate the 1982 election, and things progressed and this, that, and the other, and Sessions said that African Americans in Alabama asked him, you know, to approach the State Department, which he did. This is quite a famous case. So the three defendants were called the Marion Three. Now, after the case was over, the son of one of the defendants. Now, the complainants and the defendants were all African American. Okay, so the the son of one of the defendants, who's black, Albert Turner, a longtime civil rights activist who advised Martin Luther King, wrote on behalf of Sessions, saying that Sessions was justified in his prosecution. So here is the son of one of the defendants who got convicted and went to prison, writing on behalf of Sessions, saying that he was justified in this prosecution, that there was fraud going on,
right.
Vote fraud. Okay? But, of course, none of that was brought up today.
It's sickening. It's a circus. It's a sideshow. It's really fraud government. There's nothing going on there that.
But it is ever since the Robert Bork, incident.
That's right.
That's what they're trying to do.
They're trying to Bork him.
Ever since then,
yeah.
The prospective nominee is. It's no longer. Are you qualified? Did you go to law school? Have you tried any cases? Oh, yes, you were the attorney general, the top law enforcement officer for the state of Alabama. But of course, you probably weren't any good at it because you're white and it's Alabama. But going through the qualifications, okay, that's what it should be about. But oh no, the Democrats, and for the listening audience who don't know, I don't belong to any party. I have not since 1996. Okay, so I don't have an axe to grind. I don't have a party to protect.
Right.
But this is so far out of hand. We saw what happened to Clarence Thomas, and the Democrats have nothing to offer. They had nothing but more lies and more stroking and more mental masturbation during the presidential cycle, thinking they could fool everybody into thinking that, Obama's legacy would be carried on because he's so great, when in fact he's just a total miserable failure, even though he's not a legitimate president.
The only legacy he has to leave is one of the greatest failures in American political history, the biggest liar in the presidency in at least 100 years, maybe for all time. That's his legacy. He's trying to come up with something that he can. You know what he did? He even begged Trump to keep parts of Obamacare and rename it Trump Care, if that's what it took to keep it in place. He's got nothing. He's made no contributions. He's played 280 some rounds of golf. They've spent how much? $100 million on vacations and junkets.
$96 million, and the regulations that he's approved for the EPA cost. The regulations cost employers $344 million since he came into office.
Biggest failure in modern American presidential history. Period. No question. Zero. Hold on a minute. We'll be right back. And don't forget, tomorrow, D.V. Kidd on the Rents Radio Network. And we'll talk more about that in a bit. I've got of the Sessions hearing today with the Black Lives Matter people. And I've been noticing, as you said, Senator Sessions sits there with total dignity, just ignoring these horrible attacks on him. Let's see if I can get any of this to play. Probably won't be much, but perhaps we'll get some of it. This is the Black Lives Matter, the fake racism, okay? That's fake racism charges.
Their roles in the political process.
This is Ted Cruz talking.
Democratic members of this committee were silent. When the Department of Justice refused to fairly investigate the IRS targeting citizens and indeed assigned the investigation to a liberal partisan Democrat who had given over $6,000 to President Obama and Democrats, Democrats on this committee were silent. When numerous members of this committee called on the Attorney General to appoint a special prosecutor to ensure that justice was done in the IRS case, Democrats on this committee were silent. When the Justice Department began using Operation Choke Point to target law-abiding citizens that they disagreed with politically.
There you go. All right, you got it. You heard him yelling in the background. Senator Jeff Sessions, you are a racist. And it's...
Well, I always give credit where credit's due, even though I cannot stand Dick Durbin. But he testified today. He said that he was discussing his work with Sessions on the Fair Sentencing Act. Durbin said that inmates, overwhelmingly African American, were spared thousands of prison years because of our joint effort to end this injustice. So Sessions was working with Durbin, and they're right to address this problem with this Fair Sentencing Act, because it had hamstrung and tied the hands of judges, where you literally are throwing people in prison for very minor charges for 20, 25 years at a time. It has to be overhauled. And so, you know, right. Give credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
One of the other disgusting things, if my computer will work here, was during, of course, abortion came up. And, of course, Jeff Sessions is not only white and from the South, but, of course, he believes abortion. He actually said that Roe v. Wade was the worst decision ever, which it was. But Operation Rescue, as I'm sure most of your listeners probably already know, they've been around for decades. So, of course, Operation Rescue, they're considering, you know, what action, legal action they can take. But let's look at Richard Blumenthal for a moment. This is the guy who, when he was running for the Senate, he lied about serving in Vietnam.
A gross lie. Gross.
Yes, a gross lie. He was in the reserves, but he never served in Vietnam. He received 5 deferments to avoid going to war between 65 and 70.
I wonder how that happened.
Yes, but when he was running for the Senate, he lied through his teeth. He exaggerated. His self-aggrandizement was just, oh, look at me, you know, I'm serving. When he was caught in the lies, what did the voters do? They voted him into office.
Oh, certainly. Well, that fits in with your 94% to 96% rule, too.
Yes, yeah. Because lying no longer matters.
Doesn't matter.
There's a segment of voters out there in this country who don't, character doesn't matter. Truth does not matter. Being a liar is almost a badge of honor, because the candidate is promising you
right. The
fruits of the U.S. Treasury.
Well, it's local pork. And quite right. Lying is, especially if you get away with it, you're really a hero. But, you know, I just go on and on. Let me, I got to play a little, just another tiny clip. This is so disgusting. And this is going to happen. You just remember what we said tonight. This Black Lives Matter idiot, obviously one of Soros' people. He's funded them. Remember that. Now, here's supposedly a dignified hearing, which we're talking about. But there's a little more here. Listen.
When the Justice Department began using Operation Choke Point to target law-abiding citizens that they disagreed with politically.
They just said he has ties with the KKK.
Okay, you get the idea. These are not American patriots. These are not American citizens. This is not how the Constitution and our way of political existence is treated. So this, but get used to it.
Did those disruptors hear what Senator Durbin said? That be due to the efforts of him and Sessions, that African-American inmates were spared thousands of years of prison time? Did they not hear that part, or are their
they
ears
don't care.
Closed?
They don't care. That's not what they're there for. They don't care. They're there
and
to push an agenda.
Remember what I said earlier at the top of the show about Obama when he said that the new order was, you know,
yeah.
in jeopardy. Okay, now we go back to Soros. Headline, Hungary plans to crack down on all Soros-funded NGOs. This is today.
Uh-huh.
Hungary plans to crack down on all non-governmental organizations linked to billionaire George Soros now that Trump will occupy the White House, according to the deputy head of Prime Minister Viktor Orban's party. The European Union member will use all tools at its disposal to sweep out NGOs funded by the Hungarian-born financier, which serve global capitalists and back political correctness over national governments.
Good for them. Hungary, Orban and Hungary, they've done some really interesting things about this Muslim invasion, too.
Yes.
Well, that's a good country.
Orban, the prime minister of Hungary, he was the first European leader mm-hmm. to publicly back Trump for president.
That's right.
But
he was.
They're going to weed out all these NGOs that are funded by the dirtbag Soros, who, in my opinion, which probably doesn't count for much, I believe that George Soros, who obtained U.S. citizenship purely for financial reasons, should be charged with sedition because of what he's doing. He's funding organizations that have committed tons of violence. We know, we've seen it all over the place.
Right.
They're working to destroy our legal form of government.
Oh, it's a coup d'etat he's funding.
Yes.
So he's trying.
So, hats off to the Prime Minister of Hungary.
Amen to that. I've been impressed with that man. He's got to go up against the likes of Merkel. Oh, God. Anyway, good job, Hungary. Mr. Orban.
But going back to Blumenthal being a liar and the voters voting him in, you know what? That's the Democrats and the progressive liberals. The liberals are socialists. Progressive liberals are progressive Democrats are hardcore Marxists. Okay?
I agree.
That's absolutely yeah. what it's all about.
No question. I agree.
Yeah. And they're the ones who want the Ten Commandments erased from the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
What is one of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not bear false witness, meaning you don't lie.
You don't lie.
Here we have a senator who was caught lying about something that the American people hold in reverence, and that is service to the country in uniform. And he lied to build himself up, to make him more, you know, better than the other candidate. Look at me. Boy, I was in Vietnam when it turned out to be a lie. It reminds me of these empty-headed voters in Washington, D.C. and Marion Barry. It didn't care. They didn't care that he was a cokehead, that,
right.
you know, he was shoving nose candy up his snot. Anything he did, they didn't care. They kept re-electing.
He got away with so much, it was unbelievable, that guy. I wonder
yeah.
where he is now.
Yes,
yeah.
absolutely. What made me equally nauseated was watching the faces of some of the people where the liar-in-chief tonight was speaking in Chicago, where, by the way, he said, when I came to Chicago at 26 years old, you forgot the rest of the story, baby bouncing Barry. You forgot that your communist handlers in Hawaii sent you to Chicago for a reason. You were handed off to the communist active cells and leadership in Chicago.
That's right. He was taught.
That is a fact.
He was taught and nurtured and counseled and brainwashed with all that communist Marxist crap by Frank Marshall Davis in Hawaii, who probably was his father. We think he was the one who impregnated Obama's mother. There's a lot of evidence to support that. At any rate, he went back as a teenager and spent, I think it was 8 years, with and around Frank Marshall Davis. God only knows what else happened there. Obama has been a homosexual since at least high school, if not before. And D.V. has talked in many programs about his Muslim background. Was it Indonesia? I can't remember which
yes.
one. Went to Indonesia.
Yes. His school records, he was his religion was listed as Muslim. But Cliff Kincaid of Accuracy in Media did two separate investigations. One is called Obama's Communist Ties in Hawaii.
Right.
The other is Obama's Communist Ties in Chicago. Both of them are over 50 pages. There's just no doubt. No doubt. And people say, well, you know, well, he's a Muslim. I believe that he's a Muslim in name only. Barack Obama is a Manchurian candidate. He stands for nothing. He is nothing. He's an empty suit. He's done what he's told. He and then that cow that he's married to will be richly rewarded.
Mike Robinson?
They're always taken care of when they leave office. They live a luxurious lifestyle.
He's set. But if you've watched him and if you've listened to his voice, and I know many of you have, this man is really struggling with his ego, trying to come to terms with the fact that he's no longer going to be Mr. Pretty Boy in the White House and get his butt kissed. It's not going to happen. Now, that brings us to the issue I opened the program with. What is he doing in Europe? What kind of machinations are underway? What has been planned for many months, maybe, to create a crisis that would invoke the COG, continuity of government, and allow this creep to stay in office? I don't know, but there's something going on here. He spent tens of millions of dollars shipping all that heavy armor over to Europe, deploying it, sending all the troops over to man it. This is not a joke. He's locked cheek by jowl with NATO, which has, I don't know, I think 100,000 troops deployed along the Russian border to keep the peace. No, to start the war. This may happen. Anything can happen. And I would suggest also there was a story, you might want to remember this, you can look it up. There was a man who came back from Diego Garcia. That's our strategic top secret military base in the middle of the Indian Ocean. He was an electrical contractor who just got back from a 9-month job there. They hired him, they brought him over, and he said he'd been there before. He could not believe how many bombers were on that island. It's a big air base. He said they were shoulder to shoulder. They were even parked off the tarmac on the hard ground next to it. B-1s, B-2s, B-52s, air tankers. He said, and this is 2 months ago, he said it looked like they were staging for a massive bombing attack on somebody. Now, if there's something over here in this country that, let's say a low-level nuclear bomb is lit off in some city, a small, medium-sized city, who will be blamed immediately? Iran. And then the Americans will be told by the mainstream media, Iran, the great Satan of the Middle East, needs to be obliterated and paid back for killing 10 or 15,000 Americans. Then those bombers, if they're still there, and I believe they probably are, will take off, and Obama will have his war. And since Russia has been backing Iran, what will happen in Eastern Europe on the western border of Russia? Very easy to do a false flag there and start the same kind of thing. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I'm telling you something's up. When Obama goes to the extent of actually giving this operation a name, Operation American Endurance or something like that, American Endurance, look it up.
No, it was Recapture or something. It started with an R. You tell me. We talked about this off the air.
Anyway, it's got a name for the operation, and there's something going on here. That's what I'm trying to tell you. 10 days until he's out the door, and he's moving huge amounts of military. There's more military now in Eastern Europe, Western Russia area, than there has been since the beginning of the Cold War. It's
and good old Iran, since the nuclear deal was signed with Iran.
America Enduring Freedom. That's what it
yes.
is. Or resolve. No, resolve. Resolve.
That's right, because I asked you on the phone today, what are they supposed to be resolving? But since that nuclear deal was signed with Iran, $700 million each month has been sent to Iran, over $10 billion to date.
I thought it was 1.4 billion. It's way more than that.
I'm reading this off of Jihad Watch, which is a very, very credible website. They've given, we the people, have given Iran $700 million each month since the nuke deal was signed, totaling more than $10 billion.
Unbelievable. I had no idea.
Now, yes. When you consider that our purse, the people's purse, which is the U.S. Treasury, is almost $20 trillion in the hole.
We'll never get out of that one.
That $700 million a month is borrowed with the interest slapped on our children's backs.
Because we suffer. It's all on us.
Impossible. It will never, ever be paid off. But to...
Wow.
To me, wow. And this is Jihad Watch, this is their commentary. Whoever owing allegiance to the United States levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death or shall be imprisoned not less than 5 years. So, here you have Iran that is supposedly...
Where'd all this extra money sneak in? I don't understand. We did hear the horror of $1.4 billion, wasn't that it? And a plane load of cash. Now we're finding out it's 10 times that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, like I said, the guy is an empty suit. And yes, I you're very accurate, I believe, in stating that he's having a battle with his ego because this guy lives in La La Land. Okay?
He's pretending to be tough with Russia now. He said, there was a little clip I looked at today, and he says, and I warned him. Mr. Tough Guy, Mr. Gay Boy, Mr. Tough Guy, and now we've got this American Enduring Resolve or whatever the hell it is, and all of this equipment. 10 days from now, Donald Trump could order it all out of there. Another tens of millions of dollars, which is much better than war, don't get me wrong. But this guy has done this in the very twilight of his presidency, and you've got to ask yourself, is something on the table? Is something planned? Something bad? Something sneaky? What's going on?
Well, we better hope that cooler heads prevail and that his handlers decide that mutually assured destruction is really not the way to go. But Obama, in his mind, he has been the king of the pile, obtained through fraud and deceit.
Mr. Cool.
Yes. Oh, yes. His Hollywood bash going away party that he had at the White House. And the other night at a $40,000 a plate dinner at Sarah Jessica Parker's Tony condominium, he stood there and told them how wonderful he was.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
That he's married to was sitting at the table. $40,000 a plate.
And where'd that money go?
Oh, it goes to the Democratic Party, of course. He's going to be out. But his currency, I believe, is worn rather thin if you look behind between the lines. But he just, $96 million of the people's money has been spent on vacations for that criminal and that cow that he's married to. $96 million. Think what you want about George Bush Jr. How many times did he globetrot around the world with Laura? Zero. When he went on vacation, he came here to Texas to the ranch.
That's right.
It's not to say that a president doesn't deserve to take a vacation, of course. The stress is just enormous, except for Obama, because he never took the job seriously. He just pretended to be president. As long as he had a basketball, he could, dribble around the inside of the Oval Office or whatever. So, I mean, he's a fake president.
Sure
he
is.
To me, it's obscene to spend that kind of money on vacations when Americans are hurting so badly. And under his stewardship, it is so bad, so much worse than it was when he was unlawfully sworn into office. And he can't accept that. I read in the that they released the transcript of it a little while ago, where he says that from every facet, no matter how you look at it, Americans are better off than since I took office. And I thought to myself,
What world is he on?
I don't know, but I would have given anything to see his nose start growing right there at the podium, inch by inch as he kept talking.
Not that it would have changed him.
No.
President Obama has played his 300th round of golf as president. This is August of 2016. Wonder where he is now. 300 rounds. That's almost a year of golf every day, almost.
Right. Yes.
Like, and a lot of them were played in Las Vegas. He'd jump on Air Force One and fly out to Las Vegas. No problem.
He never took the job seriously.
No.
He was Mr. Cool, you know, putting his hands so they twitter when he bounces down the stairs, leaving Air Force One. The guy is just absolutely sickening. But in his mind, he just cannot accept the fact that he is a gross, total failure. And as far, I think I mentioned this today, but I firmly believe that one of the big reasons why Hillary Clinton, Hildebeest, lost was over Obamacare. Because right now, this is the hottest thing going on in Washington, D.C., with those so clever Republicans who've had 6 years to figure out what to do if they repeal Obamacare. And what are they doing now? They're scrambling
They're panicked.
Because, oh my God, if we repeal it, what are we going to replace it with? I hope people start listening to my radio show. Tomorrow night, my guest is Larry Becraft. We're going to cover something that does not get enough coverage, and that is jurisdiction. And a lot of it has to do with Obamacare. But Friday, I'm going to talk about Obamacare and this business of replacing it. You can't solve a problem unless you know how it got started. America has, for centuries, had the finest health care. We're very, very blessed. It's how the health care is being delivered to the consumer.
Right.
That's the problem.
Well, the first thing we do is cut it off to all illegal aliens, period.
Oh, yes.
End of story.
Yes. Illegals are receiving medical care under Obamacare.
No, yes. No. And Obama, again, so desperate to have what he can call a legacy, apparently thinks that Obamacare is his legacy, and he suggested to Trump, just keep it. You can call it Trump Care if you want. He actually said that. Trump Care.
Yes, he did. And his legacy is the thousands of Americans who've been murdered by illegals.
Yes.
Since he took office.
Thank you very much.
Thousands of Americans. That's your legacy, Barack.
Yeah. I just hope that we do see him walking out the door in 10 days. I'm very concerned. I think these are very shaky times right now because of the people that control Obama, the George Soros types, the money. And I've long said that the controllers, if they're truly going to lose control, will take all of us down with them rather than lose it. That may be a little bit of hyperbole, but I don't think too much. It's not good.
Oh, they'll make sure that their backsides are covered.
Oh,
remember, there's a whole underground city the southern part of Maryland. Remember that.
There are many of them.
That is for continuity of government.
Yeah.
That's where members of Congress, the president, that's where they will go if there is any kind of nuclear anything. So they've got their backsides protected while the rest of us,
we'll get smoked. That's it.
Oh,
yes, ma'am. All right. DeeVee's program tomorrow. She's on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, 6 to 7 Mountain, 7 to 8. What's next?
Central.
And then 8 to 9 Eastern. So welcome again. You've been on before. She's coming back. So be sure to listen in and let her know you're glad she's back. Thank you, my friend. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Good night. Hour 1, and we will be right back with much more.